So I think I may be doing one of the most unwise things I've ever done.
That's really saying something.
Yeah, I
What
know.
specifically?
Well, I'm writing an article called How to Be Wise.
Uh-oh.
I know. To be fair, I have subtitled it Confessions of a Recovering Idiot.
I assume it's not long.
Welcome to episode 275 of the Midfaith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page. And there in his QPR-Reading t-shirt. No, well, it's a sweater, isn't it?
It is.
Is Joe Davis.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Is it?
I think so.
You're very perky.
Well, we're doing this earlier than normal, aren't we? So I'm still vaguely awake.
So, do we have any church notices?
No, not really, I don't think. A lot of people are saying we should do a conference, as I just said to you. So, you know, we probably need to do something. I mean, not a conference, obviously, but something where we can meet our beloved listeners. That'd be good. So stay tuned, folks. Nick and I get our act together. I'm seeing you in a few weeks, aren't I?
Well, that's the theory, yeah.
Actually seeing you, person to person.
If we're going to talk about meeting people, I may put that off. Yeah. So anyway, how are you?
All right. I've had some pickled walnuts.
Have you? Now, you got given the brand that I've got. Opie.
Okay.
So very good.
Yes. Well, a very lovely lady called Hazel gave me some pickled walnuts. I'm enjoying them. I mean, I'm not going to go crazy for them. I probably won't buy another jar, but sure.
Well, when we see each other, I shall bring my walnuts with me.
Obviously, I'm very excited because we've got a great guest for today's show, Joe Ibbett. So that's great. On a more pastoral note, I scattered my brother's ashes this last weekend. It was beautiful. Sunny Saturday morning on the Isle of Sheppey when we scattered them, and it felt quite good. So that's that.
That's good.
Yeah, it is that. There's nothing more to say, really. It's my birthday, and I'll cry if I want to on Saturday.
Hold on. Is it?
Yeah. And here's something. I've got a whole weekend of celebrations worked out with the family, but the climax of those celebrations on Sunday is meeting a podcast listener called David, and he knows you quite well.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to be asking him to dish the dirt on you, my friend.
I mean, this is just a double whammy. Not only have I missed your birthday, the card's in the post.
I'm celebrating it with your brother.
I feel like I've been replaced.
Yeah.
I don't like to think of him as my brother. I think of him more as a Nick Page tribute act, to be honest.
Fair play.
We look quite alike. Well, that's good. That's fun.
I'm looking forward to meeting him and showing him the joys of Worthing.
Well, you see, I've got relatives down there now. So that's presumably what's happening here. I've got my nephew lives in Worthing now. So,
yes,
yeah,
indeed.
There we are. Yeah. Oh, good. Well, happy birthday for, well, today, if people are listening to the podcast.
Yes.
On Saturday.
Indeed. Thank you.
I'll get you something at some point.
Thank you. I look forward to it. Yeah. How about you, my friend? How's it going?
Well, as I said, working on a magazine article all day on wisdom. It sort of comes out of the sort of year of wisdomness.
Yes.
That I'm doing. And indeed, still am doing, obviously, because New Year's not till March 25th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reviewing it with you. I hope you've done better than I have.
Well, yeah, I think the article, I suppose, well, I'll put a link to it if it ever comes out on the internet, and when it comes up, it'll be out in Christianity in a couple of months' time, I suppose. But yeah, it's interesting thinking it through, really. I don't know whether it's going to help people or not, but it's something that I've been thinking of for quite some time, which is that kind of thing that we've talked about in the past, how Christians sort of look for revelation the whole time. They want God to tell them what to do. They don't want to trust wisdom, but we have this enormous tradition of wisdom teaching, practical wisdom, really, not sort of mystical wisdom, practical wisdom, that we're sort of downplaying or ignoring. So it's to do with that, really.
Great.
I've been doing quite a lot of writing. I've been writing some blog posts and things like that. You know.
Yes, you have. And listeners, if you want to follow Nick's blog, how would they do that, Nick?
I'll put a link on our blog page, I suppose. It's you can link to it from my website as well, which is nickpage.net. I think it's sort of just keeping it light. I'm using this thing called microblog, which doesn't tell you the numbers of people visiting, doesn't do you anything like that. You're just putting it out there. It's just very simple, straightforward. So, but I am thinking of doing some more sort of podcast related writing in the future. Keep tuned.
Okay.
And you know, I lost my binoculars.
What?
You know, when I went to Derby.
Yeah.
Derbyshire, rather. I went to a place called the National Stone Centre.
Sounds which, fascinating.
I don't know. I thought it was the Yorkshire Moors, really. But no, it's about dry stone walling. It's quite interesting, and all kinds of different stones. Quite interesting because it has all these different. And I think I left my treasure binoculars, which I have had for 25 years, 30 years.
Oh, no.
I think I left them there. I can't find them.
Oh, no. Well, that's bad. I can't, by the way, I want to make fun of you going to the stone thing, but actually it sounds really interesting. This is the annoying thing about getting older, isn't it? Things that I once considered must be very dull now assume a whole new fascination for me.
It is interesting because it has this walk you go on, which shows you all the different styles of dry stone walling that there are in the UK.
I would genuinely love it. That's great.
And there's loads of different styles. It's great. But anyway, yeah, I think I left them there or I lost them on the walk or something. Anyway, what I've been thinking, Joe, you know that bit in the Gospels where it says, you know, if do not refuse it if someone asks you for your shirt or something. You know, like that. Isn't it? Jesus says it.
Yeah.
So can I have your binoculars is what I'm asking here.
Well, I'd like to respond to that in two ways. I assume you're referring to the very expensive binoculars I bought with my mother's inheritance, all of it.
Yes, those are the ones I have in mind, yeah.
Yeah. Well, firstly, no. And secondly...
Oh, that's worth a try. You're not very Christ-like today, are you? Anyway... so that's that. So I'm a bit upset about that, but, you know, possessions, really. And then thankful for food. Thankful for food. That's my new jingle.
Yes. What food this week?
Well, okay, so back to healthy eating, I think. I want to be thankful for a particular fruit this week.
Okay.
And that fruit is limes.
Oh, yes.
I'm very thankful for limes. Especially lime juice.
Yes.
And
what particular drink?
Mixed with rum and sugar syrup.
Okay. So basically, mojitos.
A daiquiri, really, is what I...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, fair enough. Yeah.
I think that's what I'm... But limes. Limes are great.
Oh, limes. And listen, all things Mexican have lime in. There's no getting away from limes in just about anything in Mexican food.
Do you know limes are actually a hybrid of lemons?
Well...
They're not sort of an original thing, I think. They come from lemons.
All right. Don't spoil this now. It was good. It was good just to say limes. We don't need to.
Yeah, well, I'll have to look it up. I've read a book on the history of citrus fruit. I'll have to look it up. I'll come back next week with more information.
Okay. I was willing to go with it for the stone wall, but now you've gone too far, as normal. Listen, we're gonna march on because we're going to do one bit of feedback, but then we want to get on with this incredible interview with the fabulous Joe Ibbott. Okay, so here's the one bit of feedback. And it's from a beloved listener, Gareth, who said, "Hi, Joe, Nick. I know how much Nick loves a good worship song. So coming across this, I instantly thought of him and the podcast." He says, "As a minister, I found myself with the morning off. So I thought I'd visit one of those popular brands of church." He says, "Let's call it Mound Jingle for anonymity. If you know, you know, folks. He says, anyway, we're encouraged to sing the lyrics attached in the picture. He did send me a picture. And it's a song that gets, well, progressively sort of more erotic. It starts well enough. Beautiful Saviour, you're my soul's delight. You're the bridegroom and we are the bride. I mean, that's good. And then okay. It talks about all my devotion. I pledge myself to you and you desire my affection and it all belongs to you. So far, not so good. When I see your beauty, I'm changed forevermore.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Some of us might be feeling slightly uncomfortable. As a throwaway, beautiful shepherd, you have made a way. You are the potter and I am the clay. I mean, it's good to mix those metaphors up.
Hang on a minute. Is he a shepherd or a potter?
It's so hard to know, isn't it?
Is he a shepherd who dabbles in ceramics?
I imagine. Like, you would imagine it's quite hard to do that in the field whilst you're shepherding, but, you know.
Well, I suppose you've got a lot of time on your hands and there's a lot of earth around.
Yeah, exactly.
You could say, well, I've got the sheep over here, but in the meantime, I'll just whip up a quick vase.
Anyway, carry on with the, you know, I don't want to say erotic lyrics, but carrying on. When I see your beauty, I'm changed forevermore. Your love is so unchanging. You love me too. Blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing that gets said over and over again. This is the bridge. You have one more laid down lover. 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 And the outro is, you have one more laid down lover. Okay, I think you know the question that's coming here. What the is that about?
That is the words, is it? You have one more laid down lover.
It's what's going on?
Isn't that a Phil Collins song?
I think
laid
so.
Laid down lover.
Oh, I think you're thinking of Easy Lover.
Oh, yeah, that's I think what's going on is that someone's got a bit carried away. I mean, there is always this thing in Christian mysticism where they end up talking about God in quite sort of sensual, almost erotic terms, but it's quite unusual to find it in a worship song.
I think. And, you know, I suppose biblically there's Song of Songs, you know, so, I mean, are they talking about God? Are they talking about love between, well, ostensibly there, a man and a woman? Is this song Adventures in Missing the Point? I just don't know. Have any of our listeners sung this song? What do you think? And how did you feel singing it? Were you just wrapped up in it? Or, I don't know.
I mean, it is a Christian tradition to look at Song of Songs and to interpret it as a piece between Christ and the church.
Yeah.
But equally, actually, anybody normal reading Song of Songs would view it as being about Rumpy and indeed Pumpy. And I think that's predominant. And indeed having some very unusual views of gazelles.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's another one for the Mid-Faith Crisis Songbook, which is certainly going to be compiled one of these days. You have one more laid down, lover. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. shall we move swiftly on?
Yeah, so what we've got now for you is a fascinating interview with someone I've known for a very long time.
Yes!
Did you not know that?
I didn't know that you played such a significant part in her wedding.
Yes. Well, perhaps we should clarify this. I was best man. I mean, you know. I wasn't conducting it. You know, so tell me about this interview. You are going to talk to her about her speciality subject on Mastermind, which is the menopause.
Yeah, exactly.
So why did you want to talk about that on Mid-Faith Crisis would be my question.
Several reasons. One, okay, admittedly, you do hear a little bit more about it, I would say, in the last few years. But generally, it's a silent subject. You never hear about it. I can't help thinking that as a man, if you and I were going through the menopause, we would talk about it an awful lot. It would not be some sort of taboo, swept under the carpet sort of subject. But it does strike you that this has such a range of symptoms. It affects people quite profoundly at times. It really can knock someone's confidence quite a lot. And I just don't know. It, you know, all of life is spiritual. This is a profoundly spiritual, you know, life-changing moment for many women. And I don't know why it's never talked about in church, because, you know, often our mid-faith crisis follows our mid-life crisis and stages of life, certainly. So it seems to me that for half, let's assume half our listeners are women. I have no idea whether that's true or not, but let's say, for example, they might be. Then why wouldn't we talk about this? Because it seems to be a very significant thing. So that's why.
Good. Well, I think that sounds an excellent reason for listening. Yeah.
Well, enjoy. And Joe Ibbett is absolutely immensely. And Joe, thank you so much for doing this interview. Here we go.
Well, friends, how fabulous to have the wonderful Joe Ibbett with us on the podcast today. Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It is so lovely. And thanks for this and for the amazing work you do, which people don't know about yet. So we're gonna come on to that in a minute. We're going to be talking menopause today.
Ooh.
And people may well ask, why are Joe and Nick talking about menopause? To which I'm going to say, because it's really important and it affects 50% of people in the world. Mm. And I've often thought, Joe, if men had the menopause, you'd hear a lot more about it. I can't help but feeling, especially in the church. But as it is, it's still sort of barely spoken about. So we want to talk all things menopause today. I personally want to find out more. I want to know how I can support, I can help. But let's go back to basics. Let's just introduce you, Joe Ibbett. Tell us a little bit about yourself for those that don't know.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me on the podcast and for indeed embracing this subject matter, because it is still often taboo and difficult to talk about. But so my name is Joe Ibbett and I live in Romsey in Hampshire. Nick Page was actually our best man wedding. So we go back a long way with Nick and Claire, which is fantastic. And they're good friends of ours. So this could end that.
I'm
though.
Sorry.
So I'm married to Paul. I've got three grown-up daughters. I'm about to become a grandma in May for the first time. And my youngest daughter is getting married this year, and my eldest daughter got married 2 years ago. So we're in this real sort of like season of massive change all of a sudden in terms of our family sort of life, which is very exciting. I'm an executive coach, and so I've sort of been working with leaders, coaching leaders and coaching women, and very much concerned about the workplace and work and sort of supporting people through that, if you like. So that's a little connection to what we're going to be talking about in a bit. What else to tell you? I'm part of Freedom Church in Romsey, and I'm part of the leadership team there as well. I used to work for the church. I used to run the Cap Debt Centre in our community program. At the church. And last year I took the big brave step to go fully self-employed, which is terrifying and exciting.
I feel your pain.
Yes.
And listen, on a somewhat sadder note, the other thing we have in common is we both lost a brother relatively recently.
We did. That's tough, isn't
sympathies. It is tough. Thank it's you. Horrible. And it just raises all those questions, doesn't it, about you know, what on earth are we doing here? So
really does. And just my brother was only 51 and died quite quickly, really. I'm very much battling with that. I think it's sort of changed me. I feel like it's changed who I am. I don't know if you feel like that, but losing a sibling is very, I've lost both my parents as well, sadly.
Yeah.
That was different. Traumatic, but this is different.
It is different.
Maybe that's a subject for another podcast.
Well, I think it is. And it's a sort of ongoing subject on this podcast, I have to say. So, Joe, why are we talking about menopause today? Why and what is What the Fog? Over to you. And how and why?
We're talking about it because you asked me to come and talk.
Yes, so I did.
So I think menopause, as some of your listeners may well have realized, has is talked about far more now. I think in the last 2, 3 years, the subject of menopause, particularly menopause in the workplace and menopause more generally, has definitely hit the headlines and got more traction, and people are beginning to realize that it's something that we can't ignore anymore. And part of that is the Davina documentaries that happened, that some people might have seen on Channel 4, which really accelerated the conversation and people's sort of like cognizance of it, I think, in terms of this is actually, there's been, huge injustices might be a strong word, but I feel that a little bit around how women's health has been understood, how it's been under researched and undervalued, really. And so menopause, I got into it. Shall I go back? Shall I tell you how I got into
Yes,
sort of
do,
talking about
please.
menopause? So menopause was never, I didn't know what menopause was. I certainly didn't know what perimenopause was, and I will explain those terms in a little while. But I got into it because I was coaching, and I was coaching women. And I actually had a call from a friend of mine who some people may know, called Phil Wall, who said to me, "Oh, Joe, I can see you're coaching. What are you doing? Shall we meet up?" And because he was coaching it, he's a coach as well, a leadership coach. So we met and we started to talk about what we were doing, and he was sort of challenging me about what I'm doing and my business and my niche. And it was sort of early days of my coaching, really. And one of the things we started talking about was menopause and what we were seeing. Actually, we hadn't intended to talk about this, but just what we were observing in our conversations with women in the workplace who were sort of getting to midlife, if you like, and beginning to say things to both of us as we discuss this, beginning to say things like, "I just don't think I'm as capable as I once was. I'm not going to go for that promotion because I just don't feel I've got what it takes anymore. I'm really struggling with a fuzzy head. I don't know what's going on." And we started to sort of discuss this and compare notes a little bit. And then I sort of said, "Well, yeah, my experience," because I was still really ignorant to what I was going through, as I'm a midlife woman. I was going, "Yeah, and the brain fog is just so awful. It's just so undermining because you lose things, just literally fall out of your brain. It is there 1 minute and the next minute it's gone. So you're in the middle of a presentation, you're in the middle of talking to somebody, you're in a meeting, all of those sort of situations, and the moment it just goes. And then you can't concentrate in the same way. Your memory is just, it just feels like some people talk about having, getting Alzheimer's, feeling like they're getting Alzheimer's or dementia. And the impact, as we started to talk about it, we were like, this is crazy. Who's speaking into this? Who's actually supporting women in the workplace going through this sort of health event, as I like to call it? And Phil was the one that said to me, he said, "Joe, this is where you need to be. You need to be in this space." He said, "Because not only have you got lived experience of it," he said, "but I don't think anyone else is coaching in this space." So I sort of set about getting myself trained, understanding perimenopause and menopause. I was very fortunate. I had a women's health specialist GP who was brilliant, and that is a bit of a postcode lottery, sadly, still, if you get somebody that actually understands menopause and perimenopause. And so, alongside her, and doing some research and then training as an executive menopause coach, that's really where all this started. And I started around about just before COVID, and I'd actually spoken to my GP and said, "Look, would you be interested in helping me educate workplaces about menopause?" And she said, "Yes, I'd love to do that." And so we'd started to work together to do that, and but sadly COVID struck, and she had to go. She's a senior partner in her practice, so she had to go back into that, and we haven't been able to continue. But I just thought, actually, I'm learning so much, and this is horrendous that women often don't have any idea what's going on for them, as I didn't. And we're making, we're making decisions that are having a big impact on our lives, and have huge consequences. without really knowing what's going on. And so for me, it's about education. So that's really where What the Fog was.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, well, look, I just want to take us back a step now, okay. Then. So to real, 101, yeah. Basic intro. Okay. Imagine there's men out there who have yes. not got the faintest clue what we're talking about.
Scooby-Doo.
What
yeah.
is the menopause? Let's okay. just go back to that.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, menopause is just one day. So menopause is the day 12 months after the day of a woman's last period. So it's one day.
Okay.
Perimenopause, however, are the years leading up to that one day. So, okay. and perimenopause can last for up to 10 years prior to that one day. Now, we are assuming that a woman knows the day of her last period. Often that's not something that women do know because for different reasons. So actually knowing when menopause happens can be a really tricky, can be really difficult to understand. And then you've got postmenopause, which are the years after that magical one day and effectively we are in postmenopause for the rest of our lives. And what's happening is in perimenopause is our hormones are starting to fluctuate and go out of kilter and out of balance because our ovaries are no longer working in the way that they once did. So as okay. we get ready for those, non-productive reproductive years, if you like. And so estrogen declines, progesterone declines, and so does testosterone. Women also actually produce Great. More testosterone than estrogen from their ovaries. And that's wow. that fluctuation and that kind of like imbalance starts to have an impact on women on in all manner of different ways because estrogen and testosterone and progesterone are really important hormones for well-being and for everything working well in our bodies. So as our ovaries start to shrivel up basically we're not producing as much. And then as we hit 51, which is the average age in the UK for menopause, as we're heading towards that sort of age of 51-ish, we're sort of, really heading into very little estrogen and progesterone in our systems. So, and we have, women have estrogen receptors on every cell in our body. So when the estrogen starts to decline and not be produced in the same way as it once was, then that's why we can get there's such a myriad of symptoms that can present themselves, which we're only really beginning to understand more now.
Yeah.
So that's it. Menopause is one day, and it's okay. in the UK.
Great.
The
average... Well, I've learned yeah. something. Thank you. Yeah. I did not know that. Thank
no,
you.
But it's perimenopause that we really need to be understanding, yeah. and also postmenopause as well, because
right. yeah, sure.
the health issues around not having estrogen in your system and yeah. then not doing things that will support yeah. that can be it can be significant.
So you mentioned their symptoms. Can you give us a sort of, what are the yeah. classic symptoms, if there are classic symptoms, yeah. what are the classic symptoms?
What do you think the classic symptoms?
Well, the one that has affected me the most would be the heating in the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, duvet on, duvet off, duvet on, duvet yeah. off, which, Rachel, to a great, we joke about, and she joked about it, and I joked about it. But, if it was me, I wouldn't have found it that funny. I'm going to tell you now, I wouldn't have found it at all funny. It seems awful. And also her sleep patterns still have been quite affected by the process. She used to be a really good sleeper, and it sort of left her not a great sleeper at the moment. So that again, that's a horrible yeah. thing, because that saps the joy out of life very often if you're really tired yeah. and not getting a good night's sleep. So
it does.
So,
and it,
so
it
those are ones I know about. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And I think hot flushes are the ones that people generally, if you say menopause, people say hot flush. That's the sort of most common. But not every woman gets hot flushes. So there can be other things. It's interesting because the symptoms can range from joint pain, tinnitus, weirdly, dry eyes, dry mouth, dry everything, because estrogen's kind of a moisturizer,
right.
if you like.
Okay.
Things like anxiety, low mood, the psychological symptoms are the symptoms women report having the biggest impact on them, actually.
Okay.
So, so that anxiety, low mood, and then there's all sorts of things, like some people get palpitations, they're sort of pins and needles in hands and feet, cold. Some people get really cold, right? They don't get hot flushes, they get really cold. What else? There's, hang on, let me just look at my list. Headaches. Headaches can increase fatigue, and insomnia is a big one, actually. I talked to a lot of people, and this was my story as well. I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and every morning wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, be awake for 2 hours, unable to get back to sleep, you know, and then go back to sleep for five-ish, and then, you know, feel awful when the alarm went off at six. Bloating, weight gain, changes to your periods, digestive issues, gut health issues. A lot of women report having more intolerances, because food intolerances when they're going through this time of life, because again, estrogen is important in the gut. So with estrogen declining, you know, that has a problem. Itchy skin, sort of increased dry skin as well, low libido, what else, rage, that's another one. You know, I mean, and people laugh about that, but that rage is real, and
yeah, sure,
people feel like they feel like they're going crazy, because this rage is just something like nothing they've felt before.
Sure.
Can have a big impact. Weight gain, that's an issue for a lot of women through perimenopause and menopause.
And you've mentioned the brain fog, and I sort of relate to that, because I've discovered that's how grief affects me.
Okay.
So you know, and it's horrible. And I have said, I think I'm getting Alzheimer's. I'm just going around, and so I understand.
Yeah.
At least that sort of mental process that says, why am I forgetting things? There's clearly something wrong with me. Maybe I've got Alzheimer's, you know. Mm. So it's horrible. It's actually really horrible. I know we cope in life by joking and by laughing at the things. And that's a great mechanism. But it seems to me that all these things we're talking about aren't in the slightest bit funny. We may cope by laughing at them, but they really aren't fun.
No.
And they're quite serious issues a lot.
Yes, that's right. And I think it can become super undermining, if I can say that. It can become really undermining, and that sort of loss of confidence then that a lot of women experience in midlife just because of what they're, you know, what they're experiencing is real, and it starts to sort of just eat away at them a little bit, which is really, really sad.
So what do you want to, and perhaps this is what the fog is for, what do you want to say to women who are experiencing those kind of symptoms and either going through the menopause or about to go through the menopause? What's your message?
My message is always get informed, understand this time of life, because sadly, GPs are not, there's not mandatory training around menopause. It's changing, and there will be some, you know, some mandatory training happening, but up until now, there hasn't been. So what often happens, and what I see in the Facebook group in What the Fog, is that women are going to their GPs. They're not necessarily getting, you know, the right health advice either, because the GPs aren't really aware. So it's really important. Women do have to advocate for themselves in this, and not just, you know, women are really good. I think we're really good at just putting up and shutting up with things. You know, we just get on. Mm. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. Women do that. We, you know, we're sort of like the curators of so much in life. And so we just kind of push it to one side. But I would always, and this is what I'm all about, is get educated, understand what's going on. There's some brilliant books out there now. There's really, you know, there are some great resources. So really begin to understand it, so that when you do, if you, you know, do go to the GP and talk to them about it, don't just leave it, because there are things that can be done. We don't have to, so, you know, we don't have to go through a difficult, a terrible, terrible time. There are things we can do that will make a difference. And actually, this can be a fantastic time of life. I think often we, you know, some people don't want to admit that this is happening because of it. It feels like it's about old age, and it, you know, it can feel like, and also there's a, for some women, there's a grief because, you know, it's about not being able to have children anymore. And then there's also women who go into, and I didn't mention this earlier, but it's worth mentioning, surgical menopause. So if somebody has a hysterectomy, they're going to go into a menopause pretty much straight away if everything's removed. So if you can imagine you're having a hysterectomy for whatever reason, and then on top of that, you've got the symptoms of menopause, and women crash into menopause after that.
Yes.
So having good care post-surgery is really, really important. And then one in 100 women will go through an early menopause, so that's under the age of 40. So in, you know, if we've got people listening to this who are in churches, the chances are you've got women who are pre 40 years of age going through this, who won't have who won't have peers around them that are also experiencing this. So that can be a really lonely place and a really tough situation to be in.
So people need to get a good understanding of what's going on. And you said there's good books and resources. I'd love a list of those, and we'll put we'll put them in the show notes, and we'll put them on our Facebook page. So that'd be fantastic. Yeah. A question I have is, Nick and I make no secret of the fact we're trying to be good guys, really. I mean, that's the goal of our lives, I think, with our desire to follow the way of Jesus, really. But what can men do when their partners are going through menopause? What's the most supportive thing? Are there any do's and don'ts, I suppose I'm asking? What's the most supportive thing we can do and be?
Do you know, I think I talk to women all the time about menopause, and the thing that they appreciate most is when people are just prepared to listen. So if you are a husband supporting a wife going through menopause, firstly, understand what's going on. You know, do understand it. Watch the Divina documentaries, read a book, get your head around it. And if you're beginning to think, you know, I've spoken to men who've said, oh, I bought this book for my wife because I could see think she was changing. I could see things happening that perhaps she couldn't even see. And so I bought this book and I've read it, and now we're talking about it together, you know. So be their ally, you know, sort of listen. Don't try and fix.
That's a life lesson.
And don't say things like, oh, it must be your menopause, or is it, you know, just be really careful, because I think a lot of the time we've lived with women's health hasn't been given a huge amount of respect and dignity over that. You know, you sort of talk about you talk about hormones and people's eyes glaze over a little bit. Oh, she's a bit hormonal. She's a bit, you know, oh, yeah, you don't talk to her today. She's a bit hormonal. You know, these things, although it is seemingly funny, it's not, because you're really feeling that.
Yeah.
And if you're really feeling that, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you don't like, as a person, you know, as a woman, you're going through it, you don't particularly like how it's impacting you either. Mm. So if you're suffering that rage or just that irritation, then just having somebody say, you know, is there anything I can do for you today? How are you doing? Are you okay? You know, just taking an interest, noticing, and being kind, just more kindness. Yeah. A lot of the time women are losing their sense of self during, you know, they talk about losing their sense of self and their purpose during this time. And if we feel like we're not, this isn't being valued as an experience, then that only contributes to that. Do you know what I mean?
So
I think listen, be kind, don't try and fix, and get educated as well and informed.
I mean, the question was deliberately phrased, what can men do to support? But I mean, equally, that could be other women in the same sex relationship. So, of course.
And with other women, you know, don't assume that because you've gone through it in a particular way, that your friend or that person that you're chatting to is going to have the same experience, because we all go through it differently. We're all unique. It doesn't, there's not a pattern to it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So don't make assumptions.
That's a bit like when you're grieving and someone says, I know exactly what you're going through. Yeah. Well, thank you, but no.
Exactly. It's worth also saying that not every woman going through menopause has a tough time. You know, 20% of women do just sort of go through it, and they'll say, I didn't really even notice. So it's not that everybody's going to have a difficult time, but again, it being aware that some will is really important.
Well, this is great. I'm learning. So thank you. This is exactly what I hoped for from this interview. It may never go out, but I've learned loads. Thanks.
That's the main thing.
just to try and bring things to a go. Is there anything else you want to say to our listeners? Is there a message for anyone who's listening, be they women or men or of any age? Is there anything you want to say that we haven't covered? Sorry to land that on you.
I think it goes back to this is if people are having a difficult time of it, then it's a real experience and not so please don't dismiss it if you're having a difficult time of it. Seek help and support to get through it, and talk to somebody about it, because it's so important. I'm really passionate to see more women in like senior leadership roles, more women in in the workplace, and more women in senior roles in our churches. I'd really love to see that. And whilst there are many barriers to that happening within our sort of culture and society, and menopause isn't the only thing that's preventing that, it is one of the things that is, is 1 in 10 women leave the workforce due to symptoms. So I would say if you have previously loved your work and your career, and you're beginning to find yourself feeling just less useful, less capable, less able, or you're questioning, you're losing your confidence, please don't just go with that. Talk to somebody about it if you're in this sort of age group, there is help out there. So seek help. Join What the Fog. Contact me.
How do people join What the Fog?
So What the Fog is on Facebook. It's a Facebook group. So that, and it's for women specifically. So join What the Fog, and you'll
right.
You'll find us there. My website is courage-coaching.co.uk, and that's got some more information on there as well about the different support. It's in the process of being updated, but it will.
Great. But that's a way people can email you and get in touch directly. If they wanted some coaching, if they had questions about this,
if women are going, if you're thinking, I need to go and chat to my GP, and you don't know where to start, you're confused. I do one-to-one sessions with women around that as well, just so that you can make the most of that 10-minute appointment and sort of really get clarity. So there's lots of ways that I support. And it's really just because with good information, knowledge is power, and with good information, we can really sort of help navigate this health event in our lives, and also it's about the future, our future health as well. So it's really important.
Thank you. I mean, I'm still astounded genuinely by how ignorant I have been of it, really. And like I said at the start, it does seem extraordinary that here's something that affects half the world's population, and yet it's not really talked about. And I take what you say, perhaps it is mentioned a bit more in the last few years, and it is getting a slightly higher profile, but goodness me, it needs it, I would say. So Jo, listen, thank you so much for being here today. We will put links to how people can get in contact with you on the Facebook, on the show notes as well. But Jo, just remains for me to say thanks so much for being there, and keep up the fabulous work.
Thank you very much. And you too.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So that was Jo talking to Jo. I learned a lot. Actually, even though I've known him for years and we talked about this in the past, I learned masses. I suppose the question I would have for you is, were you taught anything about this during your ministerial training?
No, of course not. To be honest, we barely acknowledged women in my ministerial training. No, that's not fair. That's not true. Spurgeon's was wonderful. Let me just say that. Spurgeon's was terrific. But no. Never mentioned at all. Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that that's never mentioned and never talked about in church? Like something that's such a big part of life. It's just odd. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if there's still here, well, I'm sure there is still here, a hangover from centuries of sort of that kind of sense from the Old Testament about uncleanness, about, you know, the women's basically being, you know, during that time they're unclean. So there's a whole thing about women's health, I think, which, you know, we blithely say, oh, well, we don't, you know, we live by grace and not by the law. But actually it filters in to a whole load of other stuff, doesn't it? And it filters into the idea of impurity and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, I think the word we could be reaching here for is patriarchy. I mean, just to think it is a man's world for so long, arguably a man's faith, controversially, perhaps, for so much of history. So, you know, but this is not just something that affects women. It affects men as well, because men are in relationship with women. So,
yeah, so I think, obviously, as she said, that, you know, there were women going through this in churches. There are, I know we get a lot of church leaders listening to this podcast. So, you know, that's something I think to be aware of, that that there are women who are experiencing this. And I think Jo's right. I think, you know, women's health just hasn't been treated with dignity and respect over the years. Some of that, I'm sure, is due to the sort of Judeo-Christian, well, other religions as well, patriarchal kind of attitudes, really.
Yeah, sure, I'm sure. And I think that the take-home I want to take for our listeners is, you know, I think there is a limit to how long we can spend discussing this or talking about this subject. But I really do hope that if there are any of our listeners feeling particularly that sort of loss in confidence that can come at that stage, please get in contact with Jo. We're going to put links up to her website, and we're putting it on Facebook as well, and get in contact with Jo, because I mean, I think it's fantastic the work she's doing with women, and clearly of great benefit and help. So, yeah.
Well, not just with women. I think the other thing I would say is, if you are involved in an organisation, if you run a sort of reasonable sized business, or if you're involved in, I don't know, some Christian sort of diocesan things or anything like that.
Yeah.
Get her to come and talk to you as well, because she's certainly talked to the organisation that I do some work for. She's led sessions for our managers there on the menopause. And I think it's something that everybody needs to know. So obviously I get a 10% cut, Jo.
Is that right? Hang on.
Well, I've just made a recommendation. If it comes through us, I should get some kind of kickback.
The point is, she is a fantastic communicator. I mean, just talking to her, I don't know her very well at all, but just she has such a wonderful energy when she speaks. And, you know, I know she'd be great at doing all those sort of speaking appointments that she does. So, yeah, get in contact with Jo. Well, my friend, I think that's about it, isn't it?
That's all we've got time for. We'll be back, I think, with quite a lot of feedback next week.
Yes, there has been quite a lot of feedback to What Is the Point of Me? So thank you for that. It's great.
That's good. Maybe I could just thank people for listening, for supporting the podcast, for sending in feedback, and for recommending it to friends. Really, that is how the podcast grows. It grows by word of mouth.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, word of social media. Right. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with you next week.